Hello, John McClain. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Still trying to get over Giles' meltdown after he was so incredible the night before, striking out the side. I was there for the Yankee game, be back tonight. And it's fun. It's like a buzz.
You were there last night, too?
No, not last night.
Oh, Monday.
Before.
You said the Yankees game. I didn't know if, okay.
Yeah, the first one, and then we'll be back tonight. I got tickets tomorrow, so it's exciting because it's the Yankees. It's a buzz. That first game was great. You know, what a shame to waste Verlander's performance last night, but it happens.
Giles punching himself in the face. Which football players in your career have been the hardest on themselves? And do you feel like that's something that hurts them as far as their career goes?
No, I think he'll be out there on the internet a lot, but only as he bounces back, pitches like he did two nights ago, it won't matter at all. And I've never seen football players smart enough not to hit themselves in the face because they wear helmets. And so,
yeah, but sometimes we take our helmets off before a fight, and that's really dumb.
That is dumb.
But that's still in. But that's almost like is just a brazen way to say ain't scared. That's what I was doing, Mike. Ain't scared.
Ain't scared.
Yeah.
We have a Twitter poll this morning. Can you be successful if you punch yourself in the face when you fail? 62% say no. Can you be successful if you punch yourself in the face when you fail?
So 62%.
63 now.
Let me. I'm a little hazy on my old logic rules there. I think that if you punch yourself in the face, then you will fail at sports. Giles punches himself in the face, therefore Giles will fail? That's a syllogism, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I remember that from freshman math.
Yes, your logic makes sense. Let's grab a call here with John McClain, brought to you by Horn Solutions. Bill on Mad Radio. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. Two questions. One, will Quisenberry get an opportunity, or does he want to come in and shore up a pretty pathetic interior line? And two, if John had the first draft for the Texans, who would he have taken? I mean, first overall.
Can I ask you one question, Bill? When you're asking about David Quinn, did you like wake up this morning and feel and think to yourself, you know what, I'm going to call up Mad Radio and ask him about David Quisenberry?
I like David. I mean, as a human being, I like his survivability. He's certainly big enough to play. I just wonder how he was doing. That's all.
All right. So, Quisenberry and the number one pick back in 2002. Quisenberry, he'll have an opportunity on the interior of the offensive line,
I would
think.
Of course he will. You've got on the roster right now, you have the two free agent guards, Zach Fulton, Senio Calamete. You still got Jeff Allen, Kyle Fuller, who was a rookie last year, and then you have Quisenberry, you have Chad Slade, who was around last year, so there's like six players there. If I had been – okay, let me go back. I knew they were going to take David Carr in like November. They saw him play his first three games, and he was really good against Michigan, Oregon State, and a third, I think, Pac-12 program, and they were selling themselves more and more. I was covering the NFL at the time, but I knew they were going to take him. And looking back, the only guy that they considered other than him was Julius Peppers. Now, in retrospect, he would have taken Peppers, but at the time, they were an expansion franchise. They were looking for a franchise quarterback, and David Carr was the top guy, and Joey Harrington was number two, so they took cars. So I didn't have a problem with it at the time.
John, what was that like that first year where you had Capers, you had Casserly, you had this whole NFL team, but with no stadium and no players? Like, what'd you do with yourself every day?
Well, I covered the NFL. I was gone every week, covered any game I wanted to for 8 years, and didn't cover.
But that year, did it change that year, though?
No.
Okay.
No, because I was covering the NFL. Carlton Thompson was
I would love that job.
And Joseph Duarte were covering the Texans. And I spent a lot of time around them because it was such a big deal. Their offices were over in an office complex on 610. We're up on the top floor.
Oh, that's
you
right.
You could see the stadium being built in the distance, and they had a clock in there.
I was in that building.
Countdown until the stadium opened with that first preseason game against Miami. And the excitement level, of course, to have the NFL back and to be so fired up. It's like having a baby and you're going to watch it grow. And so the excitement level was through the roof. And one of the best moments in franchise history was that first game when he beat the Cowboys in primetime.
That the what I remember about that first year before we actually played football was when we went up to Austin to sign autographs in a mall and nobody knew who the Texans were or what they were. That was fun. It was like, hey, Austin, are you ready for the Texans? I'm like, huh?
Who are you?
What, y'all, a semi-pro team or something? What's going on here?
So they legitimately didn't know.
We're all stoned up here anyway. What are you doing? Yeah.
John, this is one of the big things I'm wondering after the draft. And I was doing the coverage on Friday. So I heard Brian Gain talk about there are plans for Martinez Rankin and competing for left tackle. Is the plan right now to have Davenport and Rankin compete at left tackle? And if so, does the loser become the swing tackle? Does the loser become the right tackle? Because I remain very concerned about what they have or don't have at right tackle.
Well, Martinez Rankin, if Davenport's not the left tackle, he'll be the right tackle. He's going to be in the lineup. I suspect Davenport will be the left tackle, and at some point Martinez Rankin will beat out Chantrell Henderson. Unless he plays a whole lot better than he played in Buffalo when he started one game the last 2 years. They need Henderson to play the way he did his first 2 years before he was diagnosed with Crohn's disease when he started, I think it was 26 games. But Rankin, who a lot of teams liked him inside, they said his arms are too short to play tackle, and we'll see. I mean, it's a third-round pick. Somebody asked me yesterday what it would take for this draft to be successful. Well, of course, more than one. But if Rankin turns out to be, if Martinez Rankin turns out to be a multi-year starter tackle, considering that was their biggest need, it'll be successful.
So basically, to recap, you expect Davenport to start left tackle and at some point Rankin to be the guy at right tackle.
Right, yeah, he'll compete with Chantrell Henderson.
Because Henderson was, he got a 10-game suspension for smoking pot, right? So that had been his second? Was that his second?
He was 4 and then a 10.
A 4 and then a 10.
Twice, and then when he, after the surgeries, he hadn't been caught anymore because he said once he got beyond the pain, he quit.
Once he got the, so he's only doing it well. But I wonder if that crops up again. If he starts, you can't be hitting the bong for it, even though it's better than the, opioid. You end up with like Kanye, you hit the opioids.
Apparently.
But I don't need Central Henderson up there spouting off like Kanye.
When he had Crohn's surgery twice to reattach his intestine, he said he smoked pot to help the pain.
Right.
What was your biggest surprise from the draft?
You mean the Texans?
Yes.
Taking a tight end, Jordan Akins, in the third round from Central Florida. He's going to be a 26-year-old rookie playing 4 years in the Rangers minor league system at outfield. But he's 6'3", 250, and O'Brien and the staff had him for a week at the Senior Bowl. Saw him behind the scene. As soon as they drafted him and I looked up that he's a receiver, not a blocker, I think Steven Anderson's job's in jeopardy. And Anderson, last year, he was hurt a while too. And then when he had a chance to step up, he didn't step up. And so this seems to be a pick tailored for his spot. And then Jordan Thomas, it was a curious pick because he looks like a tight end. They're listing him at 6'6", 265. He told us he played at 280 last year when he was lined up wide. And then he said he's 270 right now and plan is to move him back. And they think he's got the personality and the characteristics they look to help him be a blocker. So they drafted two. One catch, one to block, two to get one.
For me, I agree with you on Akins being a surprise. You brought up somebody asking you about how do you judge whether the draft will be successful. For me, it's simple. So Reed, I think, has to be a contributor because that's their first pick, and people like him a lot.
Well, everybody thinks Reed's going to be really good.
I would judge him, obviously, on that. And also, Rankin versus the tackles taken in the third round because there are a bunch. And also, Akins taken versus Akins versus the other tight ends drafted. They could have traded up for Mark Andrews if they wanted to. They could have taken Ian Thomas. They chose not to. They went with Akins. That to me, if you're driving right now and you're curious, how do you judge a draft in which you have no first or second round pick? I think that's the specific way you judge it. Rankin against the tackles and Akins against the tight ends.
Well, if Akin doesn't pan out, they got other tight ends. But Rankin has to pan out because your backup tackles are Kendall Lamb and who? Nobody.
Well, they just cut Rodgers yesterday. So, yeah, basically nobody.
Yeah,
well,
he wasn't going to fit in.
Is there – Reed, who some people said could have gone late first round, early second round, whatever. Like, I don't buy most pre-draft.
I saw anybody having going in the first.
But yeah, that's
everybody thought he'd go in the second.
Everybody thought they'd go in the second, so it's not like he slipped deep into the third. But because a lot of people were surprised that he fell into the third round, do you put any of that on the fact that he's Eric Reed's brother and that Eric Reed has been one of the most vocal guys with
No. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's really smart. He's 6'1", about 210. He can play up. He can play back. You know, they don't need him to play up. They've got Matthew can do that. Matthew's covered slot receivers. Aaron Colvin's one of the best slot corners. Kareem has done it here. I think Reed, and as they say, they're going to wait and see how they fit. They like guys that are versatile. He can play all over the field. But teams play three safeties a lot now, and Matthew, that frees him up to play around the line of scrimmage. He's not a center fielder type. Andre Al's supposed to be, but I think Reed, he'll be incorporated into the lineup, whether it's a starting lineup or coming off the bench immediately. He'll be one of the first there, and he should help special teams. Everything they did, I'm guessing, except Rankin, had an eye on special teams because, as we all know, coverage and returns were pathetic. And so maybe this will help them not be so bad under new special teams coach Brad Seeley.
What if they drafted Rankin just because he's good as one of those mini wedge guys on kickoff return?
That would not be ideal. Coming up,
he's very versatile.
9:20.
Is he as versatile as Suofilo? Not quite that versatile.
Lance McCullers will join us in studio at 9:20. Ask John McClain anything you want. 713-572-4610. This could be about life. We could make it more football focused because we're obviously coming off the Texans making all their picks and signing the undrafted players as well. 713-572.
The art of woo.
4610. It can be that as well.
That's what they used to call it.
We grade a Boomer Esiason's CBS Sports Minute in 1 minute.